Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity jing.
Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by the boss, John Roerink, Craig Mauger, Jacob Kanzler, Lauren Gibbons, and our special guest this week, Senator Rick Jones. We're going to be speaking with House Speaker Kevin Cotter in a little bit, but first, Lauren, you're going to be talking with Senator Jones here.
Just to start, I know before the Thanksgiving break here, you mentioned that medical marijuana is coming up shortly, and you said it's not coming up this week, but next week. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I think it's very important that we have a structure for medical marijuana. What we have right now basically is the Wild Wild West. We have caretakers who grow in their own home and neighborhoods, and it causes horrible problems. We just had 8 young men attack a home. There was a shootout. 3 people were shot. I would like to see that go away someday. So what the House has proposed is we have licensed growers, licensed transporters, and licensed dispensaries. Now, currently in Michigan, we have sanctuary cities for dispensaries. Lansing, Ann Arbor, Flint, and Detroit. I have toured one in Lansing, one in Detroit. And it's totally out of control. You have basically people committing felonies, but you have mayors and city councils that don't care. So instead of having marijuana grown in neighborhoods and then the overages sold illegally to dispensaries, I think it's important we put something intact that there will be licensed growers, licensed transporters, and then licensed dispensaries. And the product will be checked. Currently, right now, if you had a senior who truly had immune deficiency, they don't know if they're getting bug spray. They don't know if they're getting mold. I want the stuff tested just like Canada.
Do you see any major changes to the House plan that was before you? You mentioned that's the framework that you'd like to work with, but is there anything in the bills that you're concerned about or anything that you see changing before it goes through you?
Well, we're tightening it up to make sure that no city has to have a dispensary if they don't want it. Also, that they will have a zoning power, because we don't want them springing up in neighborhoods. We want the city to be able to say, no, it's going to be in a commercial area or some area where it's appropriate, and hopefully not next to schools and not next to churches.
So you mentioned also before we started here that the medibles legislation might not make it all the way through the Senate because of the 3/4 vote. Could you speak on that a little bit?
Well, anytime you have something that takes 3/4 of the legislature, it's going to get very tight. So I don't know if that'll make it to the Senate or not. And that would be the one that allows the medibles. Certainly, I think it's important that we put structure in that area. I toured one dispensary in Detroit that had gummy bears and cookies and brownies and pop, soda pop infused with marijuana. We want to make sure that everything is in a child-proof container. There are dangers with some kid getting this, so we want to make sure it's done right.
But you see the rest of them going through the Senate at this point.
At this time, I think all 3 should make it.
To take a different direction here, presumptive parole has been talked about, and it made it through the House. So where do you see presumptive parole at this point in the Senate?
I believe presumptive parole is dead.
So there's no possibility of compromise for you. The concerns are too great.
Well, in the first place, it's not in my committee.
Right.
If it was, I would have probably sat down with the Attorney General and gone through it and changed it, and maybe something could have passed. But in its current form, I see no hope.
Is there anything that could be done with this presumptive parole bill? I mean, is there any type of reform that you can see that would maybe give another chance to certain inmates who aren't getting it now?
Well, remember, we're not saying that the inmates don't have a chance. Basically, the goal of this bill was as soon as you reach your earliest date for parole, you're just out. And most of us would prefer that the parole board look at each case very carefully, and we really don't like that idea. Coming from law enforcement, I didn't support it from the beginning.
Aside from the medical marijuana legislation, what are some of the other things that you'd like to get done before the end of the year in your committee?
Well, there's a lot of things
right.
that I have done, and I would hope that they get through the Senate before the end of the year. Certainly, minor in possession, I believe the first case should be a civil infraction with a big fine. I don't think we should be putting misdemeanors on kids for a can of beer or even over at MSU, simply having beer in your system and they give you a breathalyzer and you get charged with MIP. A misdemeanor follows you the rest of your life. and that can create all sorts of problems with getting jobs, getting college scholarships. I would like that to go away. At least give them one chance. I also have a bill that's on the floor I would hope we would move soon that brings back the 1,000 feet for sex offenders around schools. We had a federal judge rule that it wasn't written clearly enough, and so after sitting with banks of attorneys and working on this for a long time, we think we've got it clear enough for even the ACLU.
Have you spoken with the ACLU about the issue? Do they seem to think that this is clearer and addresses their concern?
I have spoken with the ACLU. I guess I would say they're never completely happy, but they are happy that I've taken some things into consideration. For example, the judges wanted parents who haven't been ordered to stay away from all children to be able to go to school for a school function with their child. So that is written in here, and yes, the ACLU was happy about that.
In addition to medical marijuana next week, you mentioned that you're taking up some legislation from Representative Lyons. Could you talk about why that's important to bring up in your committee, the legislation?
Well, certainly I agree with the bill. No rapist should ever have anything to do with a child. Certainly, there have been cases around the nation where rapists have sued and demanded custody rights. I also will be introducing this week a companion bill because we found there was another section of law that had to be dealt with.
If I could, Senator, too, I wanted to ask you about the energy policy bill that's currently in the House. How much discussion have you guys had in the Senate Republican caucus about that particular bill?
I'm not allowed to discuss what's in the Republican caucus. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, let me ask it a different way then. Have you talked with any of your colleagues about this energy bill?
I have talked with Senator Nofs, and he asked me where I was at on it, and I said I think that he's done fine work.
So do you see that if the House is able to pass something out in the next week or two, that the Senate would be in a position to take something on?
I think so. I think that'll be the big issue, as well as trying to fix the Detroit schools.
Do you think, on that issue, Senator, do you think the Senate will be ready to vote on something regarding DPS in the next 9 session days? Are you ready to vote on something like that?
I'm always ready to vote. I'm ready to go to work.
You're ready to vote yes on something like
that. I'm ready to vote and work 7/24. But I need to see exactly what they come up with. My schools are not happy. It's going to cost my kids $50 to $75 a kid in per pupil foundation grant to prop up a school system whose leadership ran amok and spent money when they should have been closing schools down and conserving money. So it's an awful tough sell back home. They're going to have to convince me that if we don't act and we let the school system go bankrupt, that will come back and take money anyway. Hmm. I'm going to have to see that.
Do you have any thoughts on where the $700 million should come from? Which area of the budget?
Well, I think there's a strong feeling that it needs to come from the school aid fund. I really would hope that we could find some other money somewhere, maybe the cigarette money or something like that.
But in order to get your yes vote on that, what has to happen?
I've got to be convinced 100% that if we don't fix the DPS and they go bankrupt, that's going to come back and we're going to end up paying that and more. And it's going to come from our kids anyway. I didn't favor bailing out the city of Detroit because I felt they had assets that could be sold.
I guess the last question we have for you, Senator, perhaps the most important question. So the holiday season is approaching. Are you planning on putting up a nativity scene again this year? Saving Christmas, if you will?
Well, I really enjoyed last year. It is a great deal of work putting it up, taking it down every day, including Christmas Eve and Christmas. But last year I found out there was a group that got a permit and they weren't able to accomplish that. And so I stepped in and did it. I did no news releases on it at all, and yet it made not only national news, people read about it in England, Germany, and South Korea. Over this whole past year, I have had total strangers walk up to me in stores and restaurants and say, thank you for putting up the nativity. It meant a lot that somebody would do that. So this year, I got the permit, personally. And I got forms for Representative Colton, and he's planning on a Hanukkah display. And so, yes, I will do everything I can to battle the Satanic Temple and save Christmas on the Capitol lawn once again.
Now, have you seen if the Satanists are going to be trying this again?
You never know what the Satanic Temple will do. They got a giant statue and had a grand opening down there in Detroit. And many of the leadership in Detroit, the Christian leadership, contacted me, were very upset by that. So I would suspect they'll be back, but I don't have any contact with them, so okay. I don't know.
But are you going to do the nativity scene whether the Satanists put their thing up or not?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so you're still going to save Christmas this year.
Well, I don't know if you want to call it saving Christmas, but certainly that seems to be the title that several people in the media have used.
Senator Rick Jones, thanks for joining us on the podcast this week.
Okay, have a great holiday.
Joining us on the other end of the line is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Speaker Kevin Cotter. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, Kyle. Great to be with you, and looking forward to our discussion.
Well, let's talk about big items that are left over here for the last 3 weeks of the House session. I would presume that number one on the list is the energy bill. Is that a good assumption, you think, on my part?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I think that's the single largest, the big ticket items that we'll be taking up, and there's an interest in getting that package complete. A lot of work has gone in, both in the House and the Senate. Nesbitt and Ross, and I know in the House we've had dozens of hours of committee testimony now, and members have had a lot of time with the bill. So I expect that we'll be able to wrap that up here probably early part of December.
Now, has the caucus gotten a chance to take a look at this bill yet?
Yeah, so the bills, it's now been several weeks ago that they came out of the committee, and so there's been a lot of time to study the bills and review them, and we'll continue to work through that. We'll continue to have caucus discussions about it as well, and find out where the ultimate, where the landing spot is on the bills. But something that I think it is important to get it done, at least out of the House yet this year, if at all possible, and then have sent it over to the Senate where they can do their final work. But I think there's a real interest, seems across the board, in getting something done and signed hopefully by early next year, and hopefully early as sometime in January.
Now, as far as the choice issue goes, this is one that kind of splits your caucus up a little bit. Where are you on whether we're good at the 10% cap, or whether we should have more electric choice in this state, or whether we should try and scale down electric choice?
You know, it's really an interesting debate, and it's one that we've been having discussions about, really over the 5 years since I've been there. There was agreement that, it wasn't going to be taken up until this calendar year, but there's been a lot of discussion about choice, whether or not we should have choice, whether or not it should be all choice. And really, there's been a lot of conversations about the 10% number, and really, it is an arbitrary number. Good reason as to why it's 10% and not 5% or not 20%, But I think ultimately probably a good landing spot is to keep it largely where we're at, 90-10. I know there's some concern about any changes that would phase out that 10% of choice. But, I think with energy, probably where we're at is probably a pretty good spot.
Now, would you be open to an amendment that would have unlimited choice for schools and hospitals and other nonprofits?
I'd be open to having the discussion about it. I think we need to. One question I would have is, okay, how much of the market is that? Because there are concerns about, cost shifting and things of this nature, and also making sure that we have steady and reliable, affordable energy. So that's something we'd have to look at. I'd need to get a good feel for, okay, if we did 10% plus that amendment, what would that effectively take us to if all of those entities chose to enter the choice market?
Do you need a majority of the Republicans in your caucus to support an energy bill before you move it on the floor? Are you okay doing this with, let's say 28 Republicans and the rest of the Dem caucus?
No, I think where we ultimately land, it will have a majority of our members. This is something that I want to make sure we get it done right. Earlier in the conversation, I said I'd like to get it done soon, but at the same time, I think we have to make sure we get this done right. And provided that we do, I'm sure there'll be no problem getting a majority of our members on board. I think it's important that we do that. Because ultimately we don't know what this will look like on the floor as far as hopefully it's something that will be supported on a bipartisan basis. But, we never know until that happens. So I think that it's very important that we have more than just a majority, but a significant majority of our members on board.
Okay. So would you say that's a prerequisite, or you just think that's what it's going to end up looking like?
I think that's what it's going to end up looking like.
Let's get on to another subject here. DPS. Do you think that the House is going to get a chance at this DPS debate, or are you going to be surprised if it moves out of the Senate?
You know, that's interesting. I've been following it. We've been, you know, like the Senate, we've been working on this for some time now, and just really trying to get our minds around the problem and trying to work through possible solutions. And, you know, I think I would be surprised if we saw that yet in December, you know, with 9 session days remaining. That's a very heavy lift to get that done, and it's not even at a point yet where there have been committee hearings on it. So I'm not a pessimistic view, but I think just a realistic view that, you know, that's going to take some time. I know certainly when it comes to the House, it'll take a lot of time. That's not something that's going to slide through, because it's a very challenging issue. How do you solve this problem, knowing that it is a very pressing problem, but at the same time, you know, there isn't exactly $715 million laying under the couch cushions anywhere. So it's going to take some time to get it done.
Straight ticket voting, is that something that you think is a artifact of days gone by?
I've always kind of felt that way. To me, I'm not really sure why we have straight ticket voting currently. You know, I know it's a very limited number of states that still have this option, but I mean, I think that I think it's important that people evaluate the ballot and don't cast votes based on the candidate. I don't know. I've heard some arguments about, you know, this is going to be challenging because it's going to slow down the lines. And I never use the straight ticket option. I go through the ballot and I do my homework before I get there and don't have any issue filling it out in a timely manner. So that's something that we want to spend some time talking about. I'll get a feel for where the other members in our caucus are at as it passed the Senate just before it broke. But that's something that I would have a strong interest in seeing that pass.
I heard that there may be some members of your caucus who'd like to tie it into no reason absentee voting. Is that something that you would be open to?
Yeah, I'd be open to that. I think it's something that very well could become a package. Maybe that's another item that's with it. But as I've evaluated, you know, no reason absentee voting, there's some protections in there that I like. And, you know, anytime I think we're looking at strengthening the integrity of the elections process, and I think that's something we should firmly consider, and I think that bill will do it.
Well, and it could also, maybe you could get bipartisan support for it if you threw in straight ticket voting in there, too.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. It really would, and that's something that, you know, maybe that's possible. I don't know yet. I look forward to having some conversations with members on the other side as well and see if those two were put together, if there may be a path.
The data center, the pyramid project in Grand Rapids. Do you see any reason why that wouldn't fly to the governor's desk by the end of the year?
No, I think there's a strong interest in getting that done. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. From the time I first learned about it, I thought, wow, here we have a company that's, you know, interested in making a very significant investment in Michigan and providing a very significant number of jobs. So it's something that's very interesting, I think, too. It, you know, it helps us diversify our economy a bit, and there could be a lot of other spinoff activity, other businesses, you know, that would come in as a result of having this large data center. So I think it's something that's interesting, but then the question becomes, what's the solution look like? And I've always been one that any type of incentive would be a change to the tax code, actually, which I like that idea, but it needs to be broad-based. It needs to apply to all and not just a particular company. So that's something that we'll work through. I know we're going to have some hearings here very shortly in the House. There are also Senate bills. So I think that provided that it's something that applies generally, be very supportive of making.
And then the Oakland County executive changing the election on that, is that something that we could see in the last 3 weeks here?
You know, we may. Maybe that's something that becomes part of an elections package. I really don't know. That's kind of an issue that's been hanging out there for some time, but that's something that's been a huge priority of mine, but we'll take a look at it. I know that just came over recently from Senate as well.
Any abortion-related bills that we can expect?
You know, that's possible. That's possible. There was a bill that came out just recently out of the Criminal Justice Committee. So something we'll need to spend a little bit more time with. Could be, but I wouldn't expect a large flurry as far as quantity of bills there.
And then concealed weapon. Anything that you see on that front as far as concealed weapons in schools?
You know, I'm not aware of anything that's ready to go there. That's an issue I would like to see resolved in some manner. Obviously, it's not without contention, but something that's probably going to take a little more time. At least I'm not aware of a bill yet that's ready to go that has enough support.
And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about, presumptive parole. We spoke with Senator Rick Jones a little earlier this morning. He said the bill was dead. I wanted to get your reaction to that.
Really? Yeah, that's interesting. I'm surprised. I had not heard that yet. It's unfortunate. I'd like to learn more about why that's the case. I was very supportive of the bills in the House. I think it's a good reform that's needed. You know, what I've said throughout the process is that, you know, when people are sentenced, a minimum has to mean something. And so if someone is given 15 to 25 years, that minimum is there for a reason. It has to mean something. And so if they have been a good prisoner, a good inmate, and have held up their end and have been cooperative and have shown some rehabilitation, then I think that minimum should mean something. I'm not sure why it wouldn't. So I look forward to learning more about that, but that is news to me.
All right. Well, very good. Speaker Kevin Cotter, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Hey, thank you very much, Kyle. Good catching up with you.
Well, it's officially Christmas time, Lauren, and you know it's Christmas time when Dominic the Donkey is back on the podcast. You haven't heard Dominic the Donkey before.
This is my first experience with Dominic the Donkey, yes.
And you're going to be singing the song for the rest of the day, aren't you?
Unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Craig's already heard it three times this weekend, haven't you, Craig?
Great song. Great song. Welcome to this, Lauren. It's great.
It's
the highlight of your week already.
It's truly one that will never get out of my head. Probably for the rest of the Christmas season.
And that's the whole point of this, too. We'll play it next week, too. Unless you can come up with something better. I don't think there's anything better than this.
Oh, well, I don't know.
If this doesn't get you in the holiday mood, what will?
Mariah Carey?
All right, fine. Try and try. Until next week, I'm Kyle Mullen. Take care.